Today is Thursday, November the 21st, 2019. We're going to hear Moshe Salavation Shir on Parshas Chaya Sarah.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming. There's a few people here who, again, were very kind and generous and brought some for us. Paper goods and things like that, and I can't tell you how much we appreciate it. So thank you so much for being generous. I'd like to start out by thanking Robinson Soloveitchik for picking up the food for us today on behalf of Lynn and I. We weren't able to actually make it. There's things going on, so I want to thank the Robinson. I want to thank Reb Moshe for actually stopping at the bakery and picking up all the food for us. So it's very, very much appreciated. If you can, I'd appreciate if you could take your phones. And silence them the best that you can. And I want to wish everybody a good Erev Shabbos and good Shabbos. And I'm dedicating the class. My brother-in-law lost his mother-in-law just a day ago, and so in her memory, Edith Gorenson passed away, and Edith was just a very special person. Linda's mom was somebody that was very close to my kids, and spent a lot of time at her home on Friday nights and the holidays when she was healthy, and my children grew up with her, funeral's tomorrow, but my children felt so close that they wanted to come in for the funeral, and that says something about who she is and what kind of person she was, and how my family felt about her. Sorry, she's gone. She was a very, very nice lady. So we're gonna do that in her memory, and may her neshama receive some sort of a lift for doing this. And, we're gonna be davening a few minutes. A few minutes after the class, and so if you'd be kind enough to stick around and help make a minyan, that would be very, very helpful. And the motion.
Is there a class next week?
Yeah. No class next week.
No class next week unless you want to come to my house.
So in 2 weeks we'll be fleishik?
We have turkey at my house. Huh?
We'll be fleishik in 2 weeks.
We'll be fleishik in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Again, maybe I'll bring turkey sandwiches.
Leftovers.
Gobble, gobble, yeah. All right.
And I'm not feeling so well, so the shiur will be short. I'm sure everybody will forgive me for it. This week's Sedra discusses about marriages, actually. Shatchanim. Eliezer goes to find the wife for Yitzchak, and Yitzchak, according to our sages, goes to find a second wife or whatever for Avram. Turah, who really was Hagar, according to our sages. And when Pasuk tells us When Eliezer brings Rivka, Vayetze Yitzchak Lesuach Besada Lefnos Erev, Yitzchak went to the field, Lesuach. So, Art's girl, and it's really based on Hargamunculus, to supplicate. Ein sichel tzvila. So, he went out to daven. Lifno serev, towards the evening, mincha time. Vayisaino vayar vineg malin boyim, and he saw camels coming.
Okay.
So, So this week's Sedra tells us how Yitzchak, according to Gemara and Brachas, instituted Tfilas Mincha. And then, last week's Sedra, the Torah tells us, a pasuk, how Avram instituted Shacharis. Torah says, Vayashkem Avram baboker. Avram gets up in the morning. El hamakom asher amad sham es pnei Hashem. To the place where he stood, which our sages says ein amida el tefila. Standing can be understood as davening. The English translation says Abraham rose early in the morning to place where he stood before Hashem. So he talks about him early in the morning, and you know the word makom, which means place, also is a name for God. So he went up early in the morning to the place and to God. A person has a special place for davening. So And it's a baboker, it was in the morning. So Avraham instituted Tefillah Shacharis, the Gemara in Bracha says. And Yaakov, when he comes to Beiskel, by Yifka Bamakom, he has an encounter with God, Bamakom. So, which also could be understood with God. So it talks about the sun setting there, Kivo Hashamesh, the sun set. So it was Myriv. So Yaakov instituted Myriv. So Avraham instituted Shacharis, Yitzchak instituted Mincha, and Yaakov instituted Myriv. And the Gemara has a dispute. Whether the tefillos keneged karbanos, do the tefillos correspond with sacrifices, or do the tefillos correspond, or the yavos instituted it? That's but our text in the Gemara. So, and the Gemara concludes, well, there are two possible explanations. One explanation is that both the yavos instituted davening, and then the chachamim made an additional correspondent to tefillos with the karbanos, with the sacrifices. I'll give you an example. And it makes a difference in Jewish law. The Rambam says that a person should daven shacharis by the end of the fourth hour. Fourth hour, let's assume from sunrise to sunrise. In other words, an hour does not mean 60 minutes, but an hour means 1/12 of the day. So you should daven shacharis before 4 hours in the day, because that's when the sacrifice was given. And the Rambam adds that, and the Rif, but the Rambam mainly adds that if somebody didn't do it 4 hours in the day, he could do it till Chatzos, till noontime. Question is, if it corresponds with the sacrifices. So in other words, as far as corresponding with the sacrifices is concerned, it has to be done before Dalet Shos, before 4 hours. But as the morning prayer which corresponds with what Abraham instituted, then it could be till Chatzos, till midday. So there are differences in halacha. So the Gemara says it really is both. And there are some that say that there's one opinion in the Gemara that it just corresponds with sacrifices. Okay, but the Gemara certainly at first thought it has to do with the patriarchs instituting it, and it's very likely that the Gemara concludes that way, except that the Gemara concludes it's both. And then there is another opinion that the Avos didn't institute it for future generations. The rabbis instituted it for future generations. But the rabbis, when they instituted it for future generations, it has to do with the textual reading of the Gemara, instituted corresponding with the tfilos, with the prayers of the Avos. In other words, the question is, Tfilos Avos Tichnum, does it mean that the patriarchs instituted it, or Kineged Avos, corresponding with the Avos, they instituted? Now, we understand why the Tfilos should correspond with the sacrifices. Both are Avoda, both are service to God. We talk about korbanos, it's sacrifices to God. And the sacrifices were only given in Yerushalayim. And all the Jews, it was in a sense, by davening, you are associating yourself with that sacrifice. After the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we are associating ourselves with the sacrifice that would have been given had the Beis HaMikdash been in existence. But the question is, why is the emphasis on this idea, Tfilos Avos Tichnum? The Tfilos were instituted by the patriarchs, and more than that, according to the opinion that it corresponds with the patriarchs, not that the Avos instituted it, not that they instituted it, but the sages of later generations instituted davening corresponding with the patriarch, corresponding with the Avos. They were already doing it for the Korbanos. Why did they have to throw the Avos, throw the patriarchs into the mixture also? Why was it necessary to say that our tefillahs are associated with the Avos? Okay, the Avos daven. But once you're instituting it because of the sacrifices, why is it significant that it correspond with the Avos, with Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov? Now, in the past, I have talked here about the Chiddush of my great-grandfather of Chaim, a very, very famous Chiddush. There seems to be a contradiction in the Rambam. Whether after the fact or b'dieved, we know that tefillah requires kavana. Tefillah requires concentration. Now, so there seems to be a contradiction. Where does it require b'dieved kavana? Is it only in the first bracha or in the whole Shemoneh Esrei? There seems to be a contradiction in the Rambam at that point. So Reb Chaim said that Reb Chaim said that there are two types of kavana, two types of concentration or focus, mental focus, that a person has to have when they daven. One is, you have to realize you're standing before God. You have to realize you're standing before God. And the second is that if you can, we're not talking with a person who cannot, you should understand what you're talking about. In other words, it shouldn't be just gibberish. Now, if a person doesn't understand, so then that's all he's required to do is to say it and not understand if he can't understand. But let's say a person has the capabilities of understanding. But, you know, he's focusing on the stock market, or he's focusing on the World Series at the time, or whatever it is. So he doesn't focus on the tefillah. He just says the tefillah. I would say, to a large degree, unfortunately, most people who are davening without concentration, without focus, just saying the words. Sometimes they don't realize that they're standing before God. And even those who realize that they're standing before God do not focus on the meaning of the words. If a person doesn't know the meaning, we understand it. So then it's okay. But if a person knows the meaning of the words, he should know what he's saying. In a sense, if you're coming to plead on your behalf, you should know what you're pleading. And if you're coming, and to a large degree, tefillah is not just pleading on your behalf. You are coming as an ambassador for the Jewish people. You're asking for all of the Jewish people. If you look at the Shemoneh Esrei, almost nothing in the individual. It's all talks in the plural form. So you're coming as an ambassador. Can you imagine an ambassador coming with a prepared speech that he reads and he hasn't the slightest idea of what he is saying? And when we daven, we are all coming as ambassadors of the Jewish people. Reb Chaim said like this. He says there's a difference between the two types of kavanah. He says, as far as knowing the meaning of the words, let's say if somebody doesn't know or doesn't focus on the meaning of the words, it's still a tefillah. It's still davening. Because the message was given over. The message was given over. But he says, as far as the kavanah of standing before God, he says, that's not a law that you have to have that kavanah. He says, if you don't realize you're standing before God, it's not davening. You're talking to the wall. It's not davening. You're talking to the wall. So, he said, therefore there's a difference. If a person throughout davening doesn't realize at any point that he's standing before God, it's like he didn't daven those words. Because davening means to have a conversation with God. And if you don't realize you're standing before God, it's not davening. It's like you didn't say those words. You didn't say them to God. He says, however, knowing the meaning of the words, that's just a requirement. That's not part of the definition of davening. That's a requirement. So he said, realization that you're standing before God, that's necessary in the whole davening. In the whole davening. But understanding what you're saying, that's b'dieved only necessary in the first bracha. Some say that it's true even if you have that kavanah in modim. But the question is, why? What is unique about the first bracha that I have to understand what I'm saying? And you can't say because the intention in the first bracha applies to the other brachos. Because if the intention is understanding what you're saying, the other brachas are saying something different. So what is the, why is the first bracha so special that there, if you can understand the words, we're not talking to somebody who can't understand the words, he is required, even b'dieved, to try to understand what he's saying. Why? Why is it that way? And I think that the real reason is, you know, whenever we go to ask government authorities for something, we always look for a connection. If it's something special, something that filling out a form isn't sufficient, you always look for a connection. You have a congressman who probably has favors due to him and favors that he has toward, needs to give to you. You look for a connection. Everybody looks for a connection. It's you have to understand, when before God, where do you get the nerve to stand before God? Man who sinned, who violated the commandments, who acted improperly, who ignored God, all of a sudden he dares stand before God to ask for something. Where does he get that chutzpah to do it? Where does he get it? I mentioned what my father and my uncle say about the bracha, the first bracha, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. The God, my God, and the God of my ancestors. Elokei Abraham, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, and the God of Yaakov. What does that mean? So Elokei Abraham, the simple reading, is the God of Abraham means the one God who was recognized by Abraham. The God of Yitzchak is the God who was recognized by Yitzchak. The God of Yaakov was the God who was recognized by Yaakov. After all, the world, to a large degree, ignored God. And the one, it's true, there were individuals. There was a Noah, there was Shem, there was Aver. But what was the difference between Noah? We say Avram was the first one to recognize God. What about Noah? What about Shem and Aver? The answer is, when we say recognize God, it doesn't just mean that I know about God. It means we talk about recognizing Jerusalem as the capital. What does that mean, recognizing? It means that it's a public display of recognition. It's a public display of recognition. Listen, all the ambassadors know they want to talk to the Prime Minister of Israel. They have to go to Jerusalem. They were not going to be able to get an appointment with him in Tel Aviv. So they know if they want to meet with him, they have to go to Jerusalem. So what does it mean they don't recognize Jerusalem as the capital? It means publicly we don't recognize it. In our private affairs, we do recognize it. Abraham was unique. Where was Abraham? Avram went around and spread about God. It wasn't something that he kept private and personal, that it was limited to a small circle of his friends. As the Rambam, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, tells us, that Avram went from place to place, and he made it known about God. That is recognition of God. So, Elokei Avraham, on one hand, means the God who was recognized by God, by Avraham, but more than that, it was the God that Avraham made known to the world. But there is another explanation of Elokei Avraham. My father, my uncle would say, Elokei Avraham means the God that belongs to Avraham, that belongs to Yitzchak, belongs to Yaakov. What? In other words, a bris, a covenant, as I've always mentioned, is a contract. And to the degree of the contract, It could be with the biggest corporation, with the smallest person. That smallest person who signed the contract with the biggest company, to the degree of the contract, he has a lien on the contract. And to a certain degree, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who had a covenant with God, they have a lien on God. And that makes it easier for us to go in to have a meeting with God. Because by what right do we come in? How dare we come in after what we have done? And even before, who are we? What are we? The answer is, we might be nothing. Avram said, Anochi Ofer Ve'efer, but I have a covenant. I have a right. It's a legal right. That's why the first bracha, it's important to know what it's all about. Because we have to know by what right we can come in to see God. So we have to emphasize Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. They made the bris. And even Modim, there's reference to the fact, Elokei Avoseinu, the God of our ancestors. So these brachas emphasize our right to speak, that speak to God. So I think that that's why did the Chachamim Institute, if we say it was the Chachamim corresponding with the Avos, that the Tefillah should correspond with Avraham, with Yitzchak and Yaakov. Why did they institute it that way? Because to emphasize our right to come in to daven to God on every day. Our right comes from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They're the ones who God made a covenant with them. So it's for that reason that the Chachamim felt that it was important that the Tefillahs correspond with the others, because in a sense they are our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this gives us, so to say, we're able to come in spite of who we aren't, and in spite of what we have done. And so the tefillahs correspond with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We come in by virtue of the right that we inherited for them. But it's very important to recognize that our right to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we are descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, because we are the Jewish people, is the same right that all Jews have. If we don't recognize the tefillahs, the significance of other Jews, then we can't see, our tefillahs cannot have significance either. I was once in Florida, and I was davening with Tully, and two people came over. This is not this priest, it was many years ago. And two people came over and started screaming at me. I was making too much noise. And what I told them was, whose tefillahs do you think are going to be more accepted, yours or his? If we do not recognize the importance of the tefillahs of other Jews, our tefillahs do not have significance either. And that's what we have to know. The tefillah is significant because we're the sons of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But our tefillahs are only significant if we recognize the significance that the tefillahs of the other Jews, that the other Jews' tefillahs also have significance.
We'll serve.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're going to be davening in a few minutes. Please. stay and help us make a minyan. There will not be a class next week. It's Turkey Day. And I just want to wish everybody a good Erev Shabbos and a good Shabbos.
And we'll Thanks be for coming. And Fleishik in 2 weeks.
We'll be Fleishik in 2 weeks. Okay.